Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be together to worship again this morning. So, some time ago in our Sunday school lessons back in 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5, we had the statement about the times and seasons. And that thing just stuck with me. So, the times and seasons. What is it about the times and seasons? And you also find it back in Acts 1. So we're going to look at those two verses, first of all, and then we're going to go from there, talk about the times and seasons. People are wondering what's happening, you know, as we think about happenings in our nation, across the world. What is happening? And how long, I hear people say, well, how long is God going to put up with the U.S. where we're traveling to, and not destroy it or do something to bring about repentance? How long is God going to put up with this? And so people keep asking questions like that. And so we're going to think about the times and seasons this morning. Acts 1, verse 6, it is, and when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times and seasons which your Father has put in his own power. That's Acts 1, verse 7. Now, if you go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, Paul says this, but of the times and seasons, brother, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, is that a contradiction? Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or seasons. Paul says, I don't have to write unto you about it. In other words, you know about the times and seasons. So we've got to think about now, what was Jesus referring to? And then back in 1 Thessalonians, we go back there and say, what was Paul talking about there? I don't have to write unto you about this. As if they already knew all about it. So what is it there? Is there a contradiction there? No, there's no contradiction in God's word. But we want to think about that this morning. First of all, times. What are we talking about, times and seasons? Times is, when is it coming? The duration or the measurement of something. The timing of an event. Or how long. So it's times. And so if you notice here, the question was to Jesus, wilt thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? Wilt thou at this time, there's the word time, okay? Wilt thou at this time restore it again to Israel? So what was the disciples thinking about at that point, we could say? The word seasons then is, first of all, the times is when is it coming? The seasons is what is coming? And so the two of them sort of go together here. And the seasons is the character or the nature of the times. Events that will take place within the times. So that's the seasons. So it's the times and the seasons. So let's think about that a little bit this morning. Now in Acts 1, disciples were not to know how long it would be before Christ would set up his kingdom. Nor were they to know the events that would happen before the establishment of it. And so Jesus said, it's not for you to know that. What were they asking for? Well, let's read Acts 1 and notice what's happening here. Acts 1, let's start with verse 3. First is just treatise to Theophilus and so on. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. Jesus was speaking about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now the question is, verse 6, wilt thou restore at this time again the kingdom to Israel? So there's two different questions there. They might think it's the same. When Jesus was talking about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, what was he talking about? And what were the Israelites talking about? What was the disciples talking about? So think about that. But then let's think a little bit. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 and notice what was happening here. 1 Peter 1, it says the Old Testament prophets were searching about what they were writing about back in the Old Testament. 1 Peter 1, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? Or what manner of time, there's the word time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them to signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. That's interesting. You might think the Old Testament prophets knew exactly what they were talking about when they were writing. But it says here they didn't. They didn't understand it. What did it mean when he talked about Isaiah 53? Isaiah said, you know, about the sufferings of Christ. What did he mean? And so people, even the Jewish nation today, are bothered with that chapter. What does it mean? Who's going to? And remember with the eunuch on the road to Gaza, when Philip was told to go and join himself to him, what was he reading? Isaiah 53. And when Philip comes up, he says, who's the prophet speaking about here? Himself or some other man? And so Philip was able to open the Bible up to Isaiah 53 and preach Jesus onto him from that chapter. And that's interesting. And so here it tells us that the prophets, when they were prophesying about the sufferings of Christ, what does it mean? Christ should come as a king and set up his kingdom. That's what the disciples were thinking here. He should come and set up his kingdom. Suffering? Why would the Messiah suffer? What's behind all this? And so the prophets were wondering there in 1 Peter, what does all that mean? And the disciples were wondering the same thing. If you go to Matthew 16, after Jesus said to Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, if you go to verse 21, it tells us that from that time forth, Jesus began to show in his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer. There it is. Suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised the third day. How did Peter respond to that? Listen. And Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So Jesus says, yes, the Son of Man would suffer. He would die on the cross. He would do all that. And Peter says, no, that can't happen. But here they still were in Acts 1 saying, when are you going to set up your kingdom? When is that going to happen? Now, if you back up a little bit, go back to Matthew 4, right after Jesus had been in the wilderness, his temptations and all that, it tells us that Jesus began his ministry, and you know what his words were? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4, 17. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Are they in the kingdom now? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so you go on, and in the latter part of that chapter, Jesus called the disciples. And chapter 10, they're all named for us. The 12 disciples are named there. You go to chapters 5 to 7, And it's the Sermon on the Mount. And so it's the characteristics of the kingdom that Jesus was talking about there. It was not the kingdom the disciples were talking about. It was the kingdom that Jesus was talking about. That he was said the kingdom of heaven is here now. It's present. And so it tells us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the spiritual characteristics. And then chapter 8 begins with the kingdom. Jesus going about teaching, going about healing, casting out demons, restoring sight to the blind, and so on. Jesus working, and disciples are with him. So see, I don't think disciples were wondering about that kingdom. They were part of it. But they said, Lord, back in the Old Testament, it talked about David's throne being established again. Let's go back. Let's look at some verses. If we go back to Psalm, Isaiah 9, first of all, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, and we hear this at Christmas time all the time. Unto us a son is given. And now the next statement. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. The next statement. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it. With judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There it mentions the throne of David, the king, the government shall be on his shoulder. Let's go back to Psalm, Psalm 89. Psalm 89, notice some more verses. Verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah, thy seed will I establish forever there. Okay? Now look at go to verse 35 in the same psalm. Verse 35, once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Verse 36, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as the faithful witness in heaven. So God is saying, I will establish David's throne. And it's going to be forever. At this time, David's throne was not happening. They were under Roman rule. And so I believe the disciples were saying, look, Lord, Jesus, it was after his resurrection. While he had spent 40 days with them following his resurrection. And it was during this time now, they come to him and say, are you going to establish the kingdom to Israel now? Is now the time? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But he didn't stop there. Let's go on in Acts 1 and see what else he says here. Acts 1, but he says, you shall receive power, verse 8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus is saying, it's not for you to know times and seasons. I have a work for you. Right now, is the church age. We're still part of that church age. It began at Pentecost, okay? And we're still part of the church age. And Jesus says, I have a work for you. That work is still today. You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses, okay? Let's go to Luke 24 and look at verse 48. And ye are witnesses of these things. The same idea. But let's think about Luke 24. Let's look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law and Moses, and in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. So Jesus says, I am giving you the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is to enable you to be witnesses unto me, starting at Jerusalem, launching out, going out into the uttermost parts of the earth. You are my witnesses. That's our call today, to be Christ's witnesses. And so you have people trying to decide, when's Jesus coming back? Well, Jesus is coming back. I believe he is. But Jesus said, we don't know the time when that's happening. And he said here in Acts, it's not for you to know the times and seasons of this thing, of the setting up of the earthly kingdom and so on. It's not for you to know that. That's in God's power. That's in God's hand. Now let's go. Let's move on then. Let's move on to 1 Thessalonians and think about what Paul is saying here about them knowing about the times and seasons. And I'm going to read Acts 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11 to sort of get the context of what is happening here. If you look right before 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 is the coming of the Lord. It's the rapture of the church when the Lord thou descend from heaven and so on. But look at verse chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. It's interesting, this passage of scripture here. He has two groups of people who we want to take note of. Two groups of people. The one group is where they talk about the day or them or others. It's the unbelievers. It's the outside. And then he talks about we, yourselves, ye, you, us, so on. And that's coming back. That's the believers he's talking to there. And let's notice what he says. Who are the ones he's talking to? He's writing to the believers here. For the times and seasons, brother, ye, the Christians, have no need that I write unto you. What do they know? He says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about the kingdom being set up. That comes following the day of the Lord, when the messianic kingdom sets up. But here he's talking about the day of the Lord, which comes as a thief in the night. Well, what's he meaning? It comes as a thief in the night. He means it's unknown. It's not timed. It's not, the time of it is not given. If a thief is coming to your house, would he call you up today and say, tonight at a certain time, I'm going to be there? No, a thief doesn't do that. A thief comes unannounced. And that's what Paul's talking about here. You know that the day of the Lord is going to come unannounced. It will not be known when that day is. That's in God's hands, the day of the Lord. And then he says, now look at the word, verse 3. It's they shall say, peace and safety and sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So it's back and forth here. It's them in verse 3. They shall not escape. They say peace and safety. And it takes me back to 2 Peter in chapter 3, where Peter talks about the scoffers going about and say, he's not going to come back. After all, things have continued the way they were since creation. They've always been this way. And Peter said, they're forgetting something. There was a day at the flood when the whole world was destroyed with water. And he says, now it is being held to be destroyed by fire. We'll be getting there after a while, 2 Peter 3. But let's think about that. And he says, the scoffers are saying, it's not going to happen. Here, verse 3, they're saying, peace and safety. And while they're out there saying it, what happens? He said, sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They're not going to escape it. He said, it's going to get them. But now look at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, we are living in expectancy. The Christian today lives in expectancy of the Lord coming back. We say he could come anytime. It's imminent. It could come anytime. Jesus could come. And so we're not going to be surprised if it happens, because we're expecting it sometime, okay? But for the unbeliever, he said, sudden destruction, and they shall not escape. So that day won't overtake the believer as a thief. And it goes on in verse 5. He says, ye, the Christians, are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. The difference between day and night here. People of darkness don't know what they're doing, do they? They don't know where they're going. Jesus says that men walk in darkness. Back in John 3, they live in darkness because they don't want to be found out. But the children of light do not live in darkness. They expect the coming of the Lord. They expect the day of the Lord, as you talk about here, and the day of the Lord, as mentioned here, is not a good time for the unbeliever. It's a time of destruction. But for the believer, it's a time of drawing us, taking us home. And so it's we are of the day, not of the night, okay? Verse 6, so let us, as believers, not sleep. In other words, it's not saying that you don't go to bed and sleep at night. But let's be alert, he's saying. Let's be aware of what's happening. You are, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be ready for that time. Watch and be sober, be self-controlled. For they, those that sleep, sleep in the night, the unbelievers. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. That's nighttime activities. But he said, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. It's the helmet, the Christian's armor here. For God hath, now look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us. See that word us in there? That's the believer. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are not appointed to wrath. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us, what it say? From the wrath to come. We have not been appointed unto wrath. If we are Christ's disciples, if we are walking with Jesus, we do not need to fear the day of the Lord. It's a day of wrath for those who are not Christians. But for those who are Christians, it's a day we look forward to. It's a day of expectation, knowing that our Lord's coming to take us home. That's the difference there. And so if we read on there then, verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake, whether we're alive, or whether we have died, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day. Glorious day that will be. Won't that be a glorious day? It will be. That will be a glorious day. And so that's to the disciples, to the Christians here at Thessalonica. Paul was saying, look, you don't need to fear. And this was, if you think about it, that passage in Acts 1 was about 40 days after the resurrection, the ascension. And then the Pentecost, when they're coming to the Holy Spirit, that's 50 days after that. Now, how long do you think this is, Thessalonians? I used to think it was a pretty long time. But you know, it's only about 20 years that Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians. 20 years. That's not a very long time, is it? No, it's not. Most of us here are beyond that in our age, aren't we? We have some children that aren't 20 yet, but most of us that understand what I'm saying are beyond the age of 20. So 20 years. And Paul is saying, look, don't get bogged down with this. If you are a believer, if you're walking with Jesus, you do not face the wrath. You face the time when Jesus is going to come and take us out of this world, away from the wrath. We will not be part of that. And so let's move on then and think about it. Let's go to Matthew 24 and Jesus' teaching here. This again is the time when the disciples came to Jesus with a question. And it sort of ties together here. Matthew 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And so they're saying to Jesus, look, this beautiful temple, all gold, it would have glittered in the sunshine with that gold all over the temple and everything. The temple which was built there. And Jesus says, you see these things? See all these things? Verily I say unto you, shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him and saying, now listen to the questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Three questions there. When is this going to happen? When is this temple going to be destroyed? When are you coming back? The second one. And when is the end of the world? Three questions. And so Jesus goes on to quite a discourse here. And he gives us some things here that we recognize as happening today. Look what he says. Verse 4. Take heed that no man deceives you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We had a lesson this morning of deception, didn't we? Giving us deceived the Israelites. Deception. Jesus says there's going to be a lot of deception coming around. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening? It sure is. You shall be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That's happening. There shall be famines. That's happening. There shall be pestilence. That's happening. And earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are happening. We know that. We recognize it. He said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now look at the next verse, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So people look at that verse and say, look, the gospel has not been preached to all nations yet. But the gospel has gone out. Not all nations have received it. Not all, maybe there's some language groups of people that have not heard it. But the gospel has gone out. And there's nothing to bar our Lord Jesus from coming back, I don't think. Let's move on. Let's go to verse 36. And notice here, but of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Go to verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour that your Lord doth come. Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Go to chapter 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What is Jesus saying? What does it mean to watch and be ready? That's what we're called to do today. To watch and be ready, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when that hour is. We don't know the times and seasons that Jesus was talking about. We know that the times and seasons is going to come unannounced. We know that. Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians. It's not going to be announced ahead of time. It's going to be a surprise to the people that aren't ready for it. But for the Christian, it's someone that's watching and ready for that time. And so I think that's the challenge for us this morning. Are we among those who are watching and ready for that time? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 in closing. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says he's writing a second epistle to stir up your pure minds for way of remembrance. I want you to remember what I've taught you, Peter is saying. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord our Savior. Now look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. He says, for this they are willingly ignorant of this fact, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, they are standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, the created world, was overflowed with water and perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved in unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now look verse 9, and I think here is the key to what the Lord is waiting on. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a verse. God wants people to repent and come back to him. That's his goal. Now look at verse 10. But of the day of the Lord, here we are again, will come as a thief in the night, Peter says, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth shall also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening that coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, here's the word we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. What a goal. Be ready, Peter's saying. Be ready. Live a holy life before him. And that's what it takes. We want to live a holy life, ready for the Lord's return at any time. So that when he comes, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you that we can know that you are coming again. No, we don't know the date. We don't know the hour. But we know it could be any time. It could be before we leave this house this morning that you would return. And Lord, we're looking forward to the time when you do come back, because we are ready for your return. So bless us as we leave this place. Help us to take the name of Jesus with us and to live for you this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark, do you have a song?
Turn to church hymnals number 377. 377. The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark has been the midnight, a day
Thank you, Mark. So why are you looking forward to going to heaven? You notice what that last verse says? And we had some brides in here years ago, didn't we? A lot of our brides are older now, but we have some that might be brides soon again. So yeah, it's coming on. But look what the last verse says. The bride doesn't eye her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace, not the crown he gives, but on his pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's Lamb. Beautiful. What a time to look forward to seeing Jesus someday, to being with him in glory. Let's stand and be dismissed. And now, brethren, we commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Depart in peace.